You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen!
It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show. This is episode 187, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. That's K-I-S-T. As always, joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 10-year streak without a bad day. He is Benjamin Solak. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Mike, everything is delicious. Thank you for asking. I should actually tweet it right now. I get to use my picture of Jason Peters folding his arms in front of his pickup truck that the Eagles had in their hype video for last season, which is one of my favorite photos of all time because he literally looks like he's 8 feet tall and 500 pounds.
Yeah, if you don't know why we're here, of course, the news about Jason Peters and the Eagles just dropped. They are bringing the bodyguard back. A one-year deal worth up to $6 million with $3 million in guarantees to go back to the Eagles. And the key point here is that everybody that's reporting this is saying that it is a move to guard. So JP is kicking in Rappaport tweeting, quote, the perennial Pro Bowler and future Hall of Famer wanted to keep playing and was willing to change positions to do it. Both sides kept the door open. This makes a lot of sense for all parties, end quote. Now, the other part of this, the other side of this is, of course, is this might feel like a bit of a letdown after Brian Baldinger had tweeted out that there was big news, a big move coming for the Eagles. And I don't know if Eagles fans would necessarily consider this as such. And look, I never bought into the Baldy hype. I don't know about you. And all you really needed to do was pay attention to the context clues. Number one, Baldy was at OL Masterminds, the yearly offensive line summit put together by Duke Mannyweather, who trains Lane Johnson. Lane, of course, is there along with a bunch of others from around the league. This place, and trust me on this, is a gossip fest. And the number one topic of discussion there is offensive line. So that's your first clue. Number two, if it's just offensive line we're dealing with, you also know that the Eagles want to roll over as much cap as they can, which makes Lori Warfer, you know, take him off the board. Number three, we had heard months ago that JP wanted something like $10 million on a one-year deal. There has been enough time for him since then to explore the market and realize he's not getting that at this point, especially with the future cap ramifications with COVID and teams wanting to also roll over cap money. So number four, Baldy loves JP, so of course he's going to gas this up, but maybe a disappointment for some fans. But at the end of the day, and I said this on Twitter, if you remove the hype of Baldy like gassing this up and just look at it for what it is a sensible deal. It's a known quantity. It adds depth where they really needed it. So really, this is just like, for me, ho-hum, go about your day type of news. How did you take it, Ben?
So, no, to me, that's not. Like, in the sense of, like, I think that, like, this matters a lot. Because the Eagles, as of before the Peters signing, had in 2020 about $20 million left in cap, which put them at, I believe, 7th in the NFL in terms of total cap space remaining. They were actually at 22.5. 1 year deal for Peters worth $3 million up to $6 million means that they're going anywhere from 19.5 to 16.5. They're losing that much money. Losing it in 2020 doesn't really matter, but all of the money that they lose in 2020 is money that they technically lose in 2021 because they're going to roll over their extra cap space into the 2021 season. So 2021 a year in which nobody really knows what's going to happen with the salary cap ceiling, which is currently assumed to be $215 million and will almost definitely not be $215 million. The Eagles are $50 million over that number. And if that number drops, $30 million, $40 million, $50 million, $60 million, $70 million, $80 million, all numbers that have been thrown out at different times as we prepare for COVID drastically affecting league revenue and thereby cap space, the Eagles could be $100 million over the cap in 2021. So every cent here is precious. And so the fact that the Eagles are willing to give up anywhere from $3 to $6 million in cap space in 2021, that's effectually what this is doing.
Yeah.
Matters. Okay.
So I see your point on that.
Right. Yeah. So we start there. Why then are they spending this money? Well, we understand one, that Jeffrey Lurie loves Jason Peters. Jason Peters loves Jeffrey Lurie. Jason Peters loves Philadelphia. Philadelphia loves Jason Peters. There's no doubt that this is a great relationship. And Peters, as multiple people have reported, I saw John Clark of NBC reported, gave up deals to play left tackle elsewhere and is now taking this deal to play right guard in Philadelphia. He is stoked to be back in Philly. So, as with all things, logic, sound decision-making only takes you so far, and eventually you want to bring back Jason Peters because you love Jason Peters. He's been a good player for you for forever. So we start there. Two, vote of no confidence in Matt Pryor. Hard to read it any other way. If they thought they could get starting caliber play out of Matt Pryor, they would not be trying to bring in a guy to start at right guard. Right, they project that Jason Peters, who athletically is not what he once was, so wasn't the same at tackle, remains a strong enough, smart enough, technically sound enough player to transition to guard, a position he has never played, in an offseason which he will not have time to practice.
Right. That's a good point. An offseason where he won't be able to practice. Maybe it's a vote of no confidence on Pryor, but Pryor wasn't really possibly going to have a chance to show that he could be a starter because we don't know what's going on with training camp that's supposed to start in 2 weeks. We could have two preseason games. We could have none. So this is more insurance to me than a vote of no confidence. But I do agree, from what they know of Pryor right now, this is saying he's a starter. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, like, if this were random free agent guard from other football teams, right, then you could be like, maybe Pryor getting the starter job. Pryor's not getting the starting job over Peters. Not right. happening.
Yeah.
Didn't pay Peters 3-6 with his history in Philadelphia for him to come in and be the sixth man, the first man off the bench, right? He is starting a right guard, period. Okay. That's fine. I like Pryor's film. I think Pryor can function for you as a guard. As I wrote for Bleeding Green, there's problems with your run offense and what you can pull off with Pryor. And so limiting that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think that you feel like you can probably do more with Peters. Peters playing between Kelsey and Lane, tremendous situation for him in terms of helping him get up to speed. Those are two guys who he trusts, who knows how to communicate with him. He knows all the checks.
Yeah. Cool.
Item three, and this is the big one for me. You gave yourself a trap door on Dillard.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that was a good idea because let me draw the picture for you here. We're in week five.
Ben is actually drawing this for me.
Yep. We're in week five, week six. Eagles are 3-2, 4-2. Dillard's not been good. Dillard's given up pressures. Dillard gave up a third down sack that ended up making the Eagles lose the Green Bay Packers game. Yeah. Right? It was a red zone sack that forced them into a fourth and long when they needed six to take the lead, and they didn't get it. Yeah. Peter's been great at right guard. But in week five, tweaked the Achilles, tweaked the knee. Because Peters, as people have appropriately pointed out, Peters has only missed three games in the last two seasons. But Peters missed a lot more snaps than three games in the last two seasons. Right. Because he's had to leave for drives. He's had to leave for halves.
He's been supremely banged up. Now, he's a warrior and he's going to go out on a shield. But there's no doubting that he has been, that's misleading in terms of games missed. Because thigh, bicep, he's torn and banged up a ton of stuff in that time period.
Right, yeah, we got to remember, he's only missed three games the last two seasons. Yeah, he played, a bunch of games, with an injury, and he just, played through it, you know what right. I mean? So, he's been beat up. So, Peters goes down week five for the second half. Pryor comes in and looks good. Dillard still looks bad. It's week six, week seven, on a winning football team. You're going to start getting questions about if you thought about moving Jason Peters to left tackle for Andre Dillard. Mm. And that question is going to go into pressers. It's going to leak into the locker room. Other offensive linemen are going to have to address it. You're going to get the whole, No, we have a ton of faith in Andre. We know that he can play better than this. We know it's a learning process. He didn't have the preseason that he needed to have. But you just brought in the dude who previously had the job. It's not even like you brought in guy who is guard but could play tackle. You brought in Jason Peters. This was his job last year. And he did pretty good. So, I don't know how many bad games of Dillard Philadelphia fans and media will take before they start asking the question. But in my head, it's like two, maybe three.
Right. And like you said, a high leverage play, like you mentioned, it doesn't matter what happened before that. Right. Montez Sweat in week one's got, you know, gets Carson Wentz killed. It's going to be immediate. It's not going to take long at all.
Right. Now, the concern here then is that Dillard needs time to grow and will not get it because Peters, who previously was not present, who previously the solution to bad Dillard play was not on the roster. Peters will step in and replace Dillard as the Eagles go in to try to win football games. Dillard is going to demand time to develop.
Yeah.
This has been the truth of Dillard since day one. Yep. This has nothing to do with Dillard's 2019 season, which he was bad at right tackle, which he never played before, and so on and so forth. 2019 NFL draft, Andre Dillard, first round pick. This guy is going to need time.
That's exactly how we set it up with him. Said we'd like the pick, but he's going to need time. It's a good situation for him in Philadelphia.
Right, so now my thing is just, I've got, needs time, did not get consistent playing time last year, no training camp this year.
Possibly.
Thrown into the fire to start this year, with the dude he's replacing still on the roster. It's just, Dillard is not in a situation to turn out successful right now. Like, Dillard's either got to walk out there and be good week one, or there's going to be a ton of pressure on the Eagles to kick him.
I mean, what does that say about Dillard, though, if he can't handle that pressure? If he can't handle that,
About Dillard what we think to be true about Dillard, which is that he's not a super tough dude.
Yeah.
Which, like, I've said two words to Andre Dillard in my entire life. But the point here being, film coming out indicated he's going to need time to grow, and he is not... He didn't show over year one that he was like taking super well to practice and growing in that way. Problems at right tackle, problems at left tackle. He was obviously better at left than he was at right.
Yep.
No training camp really hurts him. And now Jason Peters back on the roster. And it's impossible for me to sit here and say to you, the Eagles signed Jason Peters completely ignorant of the fact of what this would comment about Andre Dillard. Right? It's not like, oh, no, this means nothing about Andre Dillard. They'll say that. But when they sat down and they discussed the pros and cons of bringing in Peters, somebody said, you know, this kind of is going to put a little bit of pressure on Dillard. And they were fine with that. Now, is that like a development trick? Maybe. Or is that just like a we don't really care trick? You know what I mean? Like,
we got to win football games. We got to have the best possible players.
There's multiple layers to it. And the one that everybody keeps on saying, like, oh, and the best news is insurance in case of Dillard being bad. Like, I don't even know if that's good that's there. I mean, like, Dillard injury, good insurance. Dillard not playing super well, you got to go through that a little bit.
Yeah. And we'll go through it some more when we come back here on the Kiss and Solak show as we react to Jason Peters coming back to Philly. That's coming up next.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
And we are back here on the Kissed and Solak Show, episode 187, SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation, bringing it to you. Michael Kissed here with Benjamin Solak, breaking down all the details and the nitty gritty of Jason Peters coming back to Philadelphia in a somewhat expected move, but also a bit of a hyped up thing that was a bit of a letdown to some people, thanks to Baldy. I think one of the things that's a positive of this is it does add depth via Peters, because with Pryor, you have a guy who can fill in at multiple spots if needed. When Brandon Brooks went down, obviously you look at the Eagles line and you're not so confident anymore in their ability to be a dominant unit as they have in the past. I think BLG actually wrote this up for BleedingGreenNation.com. This is the most, unknown with the Eagles offensive line that we've experienced in a while, because this group together has been, you know, in different combinations, but still for the most part, pretty much intact. With a guy like Pryor, you can have him fill in at like four spots. You don't know necessarily what you have in Nate Herbig, Jake Driscoll, the undrafted free agent from this year, Jordan Mailata.
Driscoll was like a fifth round pick.
It was a fifth. Oh, I'm sorry. Fifth round pick.
Yeah, you say he was undrafted Herbig. Free agent. I think it was fourth.
Herbig was the undrafted free agent.
He was last year. Yeah.
Right. And then you've got Prince, Opeda. You've got these other guys, but they have pretty much no experience or very, very, very limited experience. So that's a good thing to add that depth. But at the same time, if you're looking at the starting unit, let's go like compare it last year to this year. How much better, worse, same do you feel? How much confidence that you have this unit can, number one, click in the run game, number two, protect Carson Wentz like they need to?
Right. I think that's the main thing. I think Zach Berman of The Athletic shared this, which was like the Eagles were fully aware of the fact that they played eight offensive linemen last year. And when you sit down and you look at this roster and say, all right, we're going to play eight offensive linemen this year, you go, okay, right, we're going to play Dillard Samalo, Kelsey Pryor, and Lane. And then your next three are Driscoll,
Herbig,
Opeta. Right,
maybe,
exactly.
Maybe Mailata. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So Peters gives you the ability to bring Pryor off the bench, which I think Pryor as your sixth guy off the bench, it's your guard spots. It sounds like Driscoll was the tackle above Pryor already.
Right.
I don't know. So Driscoll's your first tackle off. Pryor's your first guard off. It's not the worst situation to be in. Eagles are still thinner at offensive line than they have been in the past. No doubt about that.
But they're six offensive linemen sets, which they really like when they run a pound the rock and go heavy and whatnot. That looks a lot better now.
Man, 6-0 line, you can put Pryor at guard and put JP at tackle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or JP at tight end. I mean,
yeah.
That's it. I rock heavy with that. You put Pryor, Lane, Peters on one side of the formation, you're gonna move some people. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think six now, obviously, like Peters viewing him as being added to the top six is nice. They're still not tremendously deep in the way that we've been used to them being tremendously deep. But I will say, like, here's an interesting way to put this up against right now. We do this. Starting five for the Philadelphia Eagles is, as we talked about, Dillard, Samalu, Kelsey, Peters, Lane, and then the first off is Pryor.
Right.
For the Cowboys, Tyron Smith, Connor Williams, Joe Looney, Zach Martin, Lyle Collins. First off is probably Connor McGovern. Hmm. Which offensive line do you like better?
I like the Eagles offensive line better.
The Eagles offensive line better as well.
If you had Travis Frederick into there, who just retired, then I think you start to lean Cowboys. But, I mean, this is still, to me, to your point, a solid unit.
Yeah, I think that Peters is enough of an expected upgrade over Pryor, though, again, I am a little bit hesitant on that because, again, he has never played guard, that you would say that their starting five plus Pryor coming off is better than what you've got coming out of Dallas. The way that Dallas is better is if Dillard is bad, which brings us back to the conversation we were having 5 minutes ago. Right. Because obviously Dallas got their tackle spots pretty nicely locked up. So I do like
that.
That
goes back to the own noun about the offensive line. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, basically, Eagles traded up for Dillard, 22, and they got to make sure he's good. That was a very important pick, and it wasn't my favorite then. It's not my favorite now, and I really hope Dillard's good. Thank you.
Yeah. And the success of the offensive line, obviously, hinges more on the success at Dillard at a premium position at left tackle. And like you mentioned before, the calls for JP to move will be heavy if Dillard struggles. And I do expect some growing pains for Dillard. Now, how much stock do you take in something like the report, like Brandon Brooks, the quote he said about Dillard, where he said he didn't have that like soft baby college body anymore. One of the big things for Dillard was functional strength, was being able to anchor against bull rushes. It was something both me and you said he was going to struggle with, especially in his rookie year, might need an NFL offseason getting his body right to be able to handle that better. Do you put a lot of stock in that? Does that give you hope, or are you just like, I got to see it before I even put any kind of stock into
it. Yeah, it's just like this offseason, I can't tell you what's true. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's more time for lifting. Okay, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, it's impossible, right? Like, I don't even know, like, you know, Dillard could have been struggling with his health, could have been struggling with a family member's health, and we have no idea, right? You know what I mean? So This is a, I'm going to sit and wait until I know when people return to camp, what shape they're in, and kind of hear from that. Because projecting right now to how prepared second-year players are, like J-Jaw is another great example. Like, what do you expect from J-Jaw this year? God knows what I expect from J-Jaw this year. We're going to wait until we get football players in a facility doing things in person before I tell you. You know, like, J-Jaw won the Eagles, like, off-season workout award on offense. And it's just like, okay. Like, I don't even know what that means right now, right? It's just
like, and like, is that like a nice thing to like try to boost his confidence? Yeah. What went into that whole idea?
You did a good job arriving to the Zoom meetings on time, J-Jaw. Congratulations. Like, I don't know.
Got you beat there, so he's got that going.
Hey, all right. Thank you for listening. Kiss and Select Show, huh?
Go ahead, man. Wrap it up, because I think that covers it as far as what we want to talk about with this. Of course, we'll have another BGN radio out this week as well. If anything new happens, we'll have you covered here at BGN. But we wanted to get this quick reaction show out to you as quick as possible so you could hear the takes and consider all the different things with it. Hopefully, we did an okay job with it. Ben, say goodbye to the gentle listeners.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Kissed and Select Show here on BGN Radio. We do appreciate you swinging by. As Mike said, Jason Peters, one-year deal, $3 to $6 million in Philadelphia to play right guard. And we're happy to let you know about it and then let you know why we're kind of worried about it and then probably look stupid later. Because Jason Peters is a very good football player, and it is good that he has returned. If you like the show and you want to catch every offseason reaction as the Eagles continue to make moves, not make moves, bring people into camp, not bring people into camp, make sure you subscribe to the feed on whatever app you listen to your podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe to let us know how much you like the show. And if you have any questions you'd like to hear answered on the show, he's been Michael Kist on Twitter, at Michael Kist, that's K-I-S-T. I've been Benjamin Solak on Twitter, at Benjamin Solak, that's S-O-L-A-K. We'll catch you later.
We all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.